Well, good morning again.
Good morning.
You know, as I was thinking about what I'm going to say this week, I thought to myself, I said, you know, there's something I've been wanting to talk about for a long time, and it falls in line with what Eric has been talking about these last couple of weeks and talking about his Jesus journey. And I said, I've been thinking about the same thing for several months, my journey. You know, I look around the room, a lot of gray. Well, most of us. And where are we in our journey, in our worldly journey? And where are we in our journey with Christ? Where are we? Where would you fit? And so I love this story. Because it's a couple of things we're going to ask, or a couple of questions that I will ask and that we will discuss. No, we're not going to discuss. I'm going to discuss them because you guys are like most students anyway. You throw a general question out there and everybody, ooh. And so I figured I might as well be, you know, talking to myself. But I want you to really drill down on. And the questions that I will ask, I'm asking you to think about. If Jesus walked through that door, if he walked through that door, would you be eager to invite him to your house? One. And what would you say or ask of him? Or what would you want him to say to you? You know, that's in the same light of you were just walking around in the mall and Jesus came up to you. Would you initiate the conversation or would you sit back and wait to see what's going to happen? Well, he come to me or how I want to play this. So let's talk about it. Eric has been talking about last week. We talked about the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. Yeah. Hold that thought, because that's going to, a little bit of my message going to fall back on that, what Eric's been talking about on the journey with Jesus. But before I get started, let us pray. Precious Lord, Father God, once again, you found favor in us because we are here. And because you woke us up this morning and put us on this journey, we thank you, O God, for your loving kindness and your mercies. And I just pray, oh God, that as we assemble in this holy place and share your words and fellowship one with another, I ask, oh God, that yes, indeed, you would be in the midst of us. I ask for this and continue blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so let's go ahead and bingo. All righty. And so conversations back in the day. There's a couple, when you meet somebody for the first time, do you remember when you, for the first time, did you initiate the conversation or did she? Uh-huh. I know I started. I started first. Thank you. Yeah. And so we got to ask a couple of questions. In Jesus' journey, I asked several questions. The first question is, who started the conversation? Who started the conversation? Now over in last week, Eric talked about the woman at the well, you know, and he, give me some water. So here's that woman at the well, give me some water. But he initiated the conversation, and out of that conversation, a couple of things was the Samaritan woman realized, oh, this guy knows a lot. Who are you? How come you know all these things? And one of the things that I'll bring out that you'll see in my message today is that when you meet Jesus, wherever you meet Jesus, he already knows your name. He knows what you are. He knows who you are. So you might as well come clean. And then if you look at Jesus responding to other inquirers, you know, if you go about over there in the young ruler, he responded, the teacher, what good things must I do? So the rich man is now asking a question. He's initiating a question with Jesus. The rich man, what good things must I do? And Jesus answered, why do you ask about what is good? And then the conversation goes on. Then you talk about other conversations about the tax collectors and sinners over at Matthew's house. Many other people, tax collectors and sinners, come into his house to conversate with Jesus, you know, along with the Pharisees. And then I got to, I'm going to run through just a few things. And the connections that occurs. So you come over here, interactions that occurred in the workplace. Many of Jesus' encounters, many of them, you would think maybe the church. Lady at the well, in people's homes, like over in Peter's house, or not Peter, Matthew's house. Today we're talking about Zacchaeus' house. And what I'm saying is that Jesus met on his journey, talked to many, many, many people, did many, many miracles outside the church. And then what was discussed? Like I said, if Jesus walked through that door, would you ask him a question? Would you initiate the conversation? And then once the conversation is initiated, what would you say? What would be the conversation be all about? And so let's get in today's message, shall we? What shall be about it? I love this story. No small jokes today. And so Jesus entered Jericho. Now, if you go back biblically, Jericho is a very important city. Very important. So Jesus is entering Jericho. If you go back in the chapter previous to that, in Luke 18, he was right before he entered Jericho. There was a blind man sitting on a beggar, blind, and he yelled out to the crowd, "Well, what's happening? What's going on? What's going on?" And the crowd said, "Well, Jesus is coming this way, and you just get out the way." And the blind man stands up and said, "Jesus, Son of God." Jesus stopped. Here's a man that initiated the conversation. And Jesus stopped and turned, healed his blindness. And so here is Jesus passing through Jericho. And there was a man by the name of Zacchaeus. Now, chief tax collector, that's one. Holy, this is, well, Jesus has been working with tax collectors a lot. Chief tax collector, and it says he was wealthy. Now, for those of us, at least I'll just speak for me, I can't speak for you. When people say, "Well, he's rich or he's wealthy," what's the first question that comes to my mind? How much? When you say he's wealthy, how much money are we talking about? Is he like Lake Michigan rich, or he's like Lake Superior rich? You know, we're going to answer that question in a few minutes. And can a rich man make it to heaven? Going to answer that too. He wanted to then here comes. So hang on to your seats. He wanted to see who Jesus was, implying he wasn't quite certain who Jesus is. Who is this man coming through Jericho with this large crowd? I have to go see who it is. So what does he do? He wanted to see who Jesus was, and because he was short, no one, this is out of this, you guys got short stature. I had King James Version. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. Now, I got to come. I'm gonna just digress a little bit. Just a little bit. So he ran ahead, climbed up a sycamore tree. Bingo. He ran ahead, climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Stop. This is where I get a little, where I start scratching my head. There's a couple of things in here we have to dig out. We have to dissect out this. Number one, why is this short, rich man, now he's rich, why is this short, rich man running ahead of a crowd? Now, come on, guys. We all, and ladies. If we're, you do not see rich people sitting in the end zone or in the bleachers at a big game. They're in, what's it called, the press box? Or the, what's that big? The nice air condition, drinks, the waiters. You know what I mean? Football games. You don't find rich people sitting in the end zone. They're in the choice seats. that they paid for. Hmm? And so that's the first thing I said, why is this rich man running ahead? And he's running. Now, if he's so rich and he's a tax collector, remember, he's a tax collector. Now, I don't know about you, but had that been me, I'm rich, I'm short, and I want to see who Jesus is. You know, I go find the biggest dude around or a couple of them and say, hey, put me on your shoulders and carry me to the front of the line. Did you pay your taxes? Huh? Yeah, that's what I would do. Or I would find the two biggest dudes and I say, listen, I want you to walk in front of me and I just want you to push everybody out of the way so I make way for me so I can be at the front of the line. That's what I would do. I'm rich. I'm a tax collector. Got a lot of power. I would use it. But not Zacchaeus. He ran ahead of the crowd. And not only that, this is so embarrassing. Here's a grown man climbing up a tree. Climbs up the tree since Jesus was coming that way. And so you have to ask, there's some couple of things here. Rich man running after Jesus, climbing up a tree. None of that to me kind of made sense. At least in my worldly thinking. But when I really think about how I want to pursue Jesus, how I want to walk with Jesus, yeah. You know, knowing, unlike Zacchaeus, now remember, he wanted to see who Jesus was or is. I already know, at least I think I have an idea. But he wanted to find out for himself, who is this guy? Climbs up a tree. And so here we go. Hold on to your seats. But Zacchaeus, let me just back up a little bit. Boom. Let me back up. So when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, hey, dude, who are you? Hey, moron, knucklehead, get out of the tree. No, he didn't do that. He looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down. Called him by name. See, when you meet Jesus, he's going to call you by name. Not only will he call you by name, he'll tell you what you are. Oh, yeah, he'll tell you what you are. If you got a title, he'll tell you that, too. If you're doing wrong, he's going to bust you out. How did you know that? Oh, yeah. I like the story over in, remember old Hagar? Yeah, over there in Genesis, old Hagar, the second time she ran away. The first time she runs away from Sarah and she's at that well crying. And the angel of the Lord appeared and said to her, what did he say to her? What did that angel of the Lord say to Hagar? Called her by name. Hagar. Didn't say, hey, lady. No. Angel of the Lord said, hey, Hagar. And then what else did the angel of the Lord say to her? Says, Hagar, Sarah's handmaiden. Put her in her spot. So you are her man handmaiden. Get back. Go back where you belong. She did. So here we have Jesus looks up. Zacchaeus, come down out of that tree immediately. Because I must stay at your house today. So he came down and it was gladly welcomed. Huh? And here we go again. Either the same crowd that saw what he did to the blind man, the same group of people watching this. Oh, all the people saw this and began to murmur. And he's going to be with a guest of a sinner. They haven't even figured it out yet. But let's see what happens. And before I go into the next passage of this, have you ever watched kids when they're arguing, who did this and what did they say? You broke mom's vase or something. And they're trying to figure out and get their stories together. Who did it? And you could always tell, at least I was always able to tell, who's telling the truth? You know why I figured it out? Because the one that's telling the truth would always look at me, usually with tears, they would explain it. He comes down out of the tree. Zacchaeus stood up. Now stop. Zacchaeus stood up. That implies he was not standing. When he came down out of that tree, he was not standing. Says Zacchaeus stood up. So now, he stood up, meaning was he on one knee or two knees? Or was he just rolling around on the dirt like a worm? I don't know. But it says he stood up. Or maybe he was sitting in a chair. Don't know. Maybe he was sitting on somebody's shoulders. I don't know. But he stood up. And then your Bible says, behold. And mine, it says, oh, I wish I could put it up there. Yeah, is this? Oh, yeah, no, this isn't mine. Mine says he stood up and said, oh, it is here. Bingo, this is mine. Yeah, he stood. Oops. He stood. Where? Bingo, where? I must have clipped. Came down, bang, and he stood up. Here we go. Where am I? Get the clicker. Look, Lord. That's an exclamation point. Look, Lord! Exclamation point. Now, I think about that. I like this. It reminds me as a teenager. I don't know, maybe 10, 11, 12 years old, somewhere right in there. I remember this episode I had with my dad where I was doing something and I was laser focused on this task that I was doing. I was laser focused. And my dad called out, Charles, zing, zing. Charles, zing, zing. And by the third or fourth time, his voice registered in my brain. But without thinking, you know what I said? What? Yeah, the story after that gets a little vague. But I don't think it went very well for me, because all of a sudden, it seems like the whole world came crashing down on me. So here's the chaos saying, look, Lord. Look, Lord. He's looking at Jesus. He's not looking at the crowd. You know, the kid that is lying will look at the person who's telling the truth. Oh, you did it. You did it. Oh, you didn't do it. Oh. The person that's telling the truth will be looking at you and saying, no, I didn't. And you got Zacchaeus saying, look, Lord, like he's raising his voice almost. Hey, how dare you? This is Jesus you're talking to. He said, look, and here we go. Here and now, not next week, not a month from now. Give me a couple of days to think about this. Here, right now, you know, I give half of my possessions. Half of my possessions. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay them back fourfold. If I have cheated anybody out of anything, if I lied on anybody at any time, if I have done wrong any time, I ask for forgiveness right here, right now, not tomorrow, not next week. Let me go home and have a couple of beers on this, and then I'll come back and repent. No, right here, right now. If I owe anybody anything, I will repay you right now. This is the chaos. Can you say that? Would you be able to say that? Would you be able to defend yourself on your actions? And remember, this is a tax collector. How rich is he? He had to be very rich to say something like that, because Jericho is not no small town, and there weren't a couple of people around Jesus at the time. Massive crowd. Fourfold. And Jesus said to him, yeah, today salvation has come to this house. Would you be able to mimic what Zacchaeus did? On that day, this rich man runs ahead of the crowd, climbs up a sycamore tree. Jesus said, come on down, Zacchaeus. And then he makes a declaration of, I owe anybody anything, I give you back whatever I owe fourfold, and I even give half my possessions to the poor. Talk about salvation. Talking about being gutsy. And Jesus responded. What would be Jesus' respond to you? See, that's why I have to ask myself, what would be his response? Can I say what Zacchaeus said? Can I say that? No. Well, I'm speaking for myself. The answer would be no. Have I been rude to people? Yeah. Have I perhaps taken things that perhaps I shouldn't have? Yeah. would you be able to admit those things? Would you ask for forgiveness? Zacchaeus did it right away, right here, right now, not tomorrow, not next week. Oh, the 20 bucks you owe me. Well, let me get my next paycheck. And you got $50 in your wallet. Right here, right now. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. We all are sinners and have gone astray. But the good thing and the nice thing about this, if you take that journey, and Eric has been talking about, as Jesus was taking his journey, doing a lot of healing, doing a lot of preaching, doing a lot of converting. And the nice thing about, as you walk through the various chapters of the gospel and follow Jesus, the one thing about it, when you encounter Jesus, there will be a change in your behavior, guaranteed. When you actually sit down and meet and talk with Jesus, I guarantee you, it will change. As Pastor Jerome used to say, we'll convict and convert. We'll convict and convert. Now, we don't know whether or not Zacchaeus continued to follow Jesus. Don't know. But we know at that point in time, this very wealthy, this tax collector, this so-called sinner, was able to dine, was able to have Jesus come dine in his house. Will he dine in your house? I don't know. I would hope so. I would hope so. And so let me summarize. Like I say, I love this story because it reminds me that as I take my journey through life, as I try and be more and more like Jesus, I will encounter the critics. That's one. Everywhere Jesus went, he had the critics, the Pharisees, the scribes, critics. Critics. Don't worry about the critics. Stay on course. Stay on target. And I wish I could be like Zacchaeus, so I stand up in front of the Lord and say, look, Lord. Wouldn't that be nice to be able to say, look, Lord, I've given half my possessions. I've tried to feed the poor. You know, I've been kind. I've followed your commandments. I've done the things that you have asked me to do. You know, the nice thing about, there's two things. One is being young and one is being old. Well, okay, seasoned. In my younger days, I was just ignorant. I just didn't know. Like Zacchaeus, I didn't know. Who is this guy? Well, I have encountered them. So now I do know. So now I'm an old man. You know, like David, I was once young, but now I am old. And so as I make my journey, my worldly journey, it's going to come to an end one of these days. We all know that. And I want to be able to say toward the end of my journey, Lord, come dine with me, or I will come dine with you. Let me be happily accepted into your arms. Let us pray. Precious Lord, Father God, oh my God, we have so much to be thankful for. And there are so many conversations that we need to have with you. And there are many conversations that we need to have with each other. Father God, I just ask and pray in Jesus' precious name, as you have ministered to us, give us the power and the wisdom that we may minister to others as we make our way in our own journey, always seeking you, always having you order our steps. And so, oh God, at this time, I just ask and pray in Jesus' holy name that you continue to order our steps, continue to allow us to be with you, to walk beside you. I pray, oh God, that in the coming days that you will lift up our eyes, lift up our spirits, bring unity and love once again as we all make our journey toward you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.